Hello, everyone.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, we'll
Chris.
We'll get started very shortly. I know some people are switching over from another call, so I'll give everybody a minute or so. Let me bring up the Jira. We have four topics today.
Hello, Chris. This is Ling.
Hi, Ling Lee.
I'm sorry that Tom might write you an email rather late, perhaps 1 hour before this call. A discussion last week during Beijing, and Tao has been working with Poto language support, and would like to be presented during this call to actually. And give us guidance whether or not we should include it for custom black already planning. So I think because we get some time, perhaps 15 to 20 minutes today to present that idea.
Thank you. Yes, I did receive his update, and I put that first because of the time in China. And then from there, we'll go directly to Vimal. And then as time permits, we have the CD proposal and then the updates that we made to the Casablanca recommendations. And is Tao on the line?
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Sure.
I appreciate it.
Sure, we'll start off there.
Yes, there's
some echo
I'm hearing. Okay. Hi, Chris.
So let me stop the share. Tao, I'll turn it over to you for internationalization.
Okay, I'll share my screen. Chris, Kyle, in my screen?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Present multi-language solution for architecture subcommittee. First, there are three parts in my proposal. There are architecture impact by multi-language. And application portal improvement. About architecture impact by multi-language in general, it should be supported by topless UUI, EID, ESR, and other portal. Project and the portal platform will provide an SDK component for application portal development.
Could you speak a little louder?
Support multi-language display for portal platform page. Add local selection for on-level portal users. Keep local selection in users' runtime environment.
Excuse me, Tao, we're having trouble hearing you. Would it be possible to speak a little louder or closer to the mic?
Okay. I'll just adjust the mic. Sorry. Sorry, without mute.
Tom, 你能不能再重复一下，说慢一点，离话筒近一点。
哦，我调一下音质了。Oh, sorry guys, can you hear me?
Oh yes, much better now.
Okay, for portal platform, there are four improvements. They are support multi-language display for portal platform pages. User keep local selection in user runtime environment. And application portal pages. This page is the structure of the portal platform project. The portal platform front-end, AngularJS as the framework is used to implement the translate as a plugin to implement multi-language features. The portal platform backend, the Spring framework is used to provide controller and the configuration model. We are going to use Spring MVC International Edition to implement multi-language features. The database of total platform many tables is stored in the database. The database table structure needs to be modified to accommodate multilingual storage. For application portals which support multi-language, they need to do the following: support multi-language display for application portal pages, get a setting from user's runtime environment, be reloaded by portal platform and display multi-language pages. For application portals which don't support multi-language, there is not any impact on their functionality. Yes, they only need to display the existing pages because multi-language features is an improved functionality. Well, it's my proposal. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tao. Are there any questions?
Can you?
Yes, I have a question. So what model is being used to create these portals? And should we be with some of the modeling work that we're taking on from an external API perspective? Hello.
To be frank, Alex, I don't understand the question. For resource modeling that we were talking about in the modeling subcommittee, this is something that we actually a local profile and customize, you know, their user interface.
So typically user interfaces are built based on some sort of models. And typically, as we've discussed, then to start building an administrative model, if you will, not just, you know, a model for how we create services, a model that we could use consistently to build portals and SDKs and a model the position work that we're going to be doing. I'm not suggesting that that's a gating requirement for this project. Something that we should think about. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. It's not dependent or trying to do that. This is something that I think with a very clear impact. I don't see.
Understood. I'm not saying it's hard to ponder how we move ahead with other UIs and other projects that need a consistent way for us, maybe more than anything else.
Can we move back to the impacts part, please? I don't remember which slide that was.
Which slide are you referring
to?
Yeah,
I don't know whether it was slide 3 or, but it impacted her in one way. My question is twofold, actually. I have no just wondering, of course it will impact portal. I guess it impacts service design and creation. And then I was wondering whether this is to create the infrastructure for allowing multiple in the projects to actually produce the pages in the different languages as well, in which case we have to take discussion which of those languages.
I don't think that we're requiring, you know, any portal applications or locale setting. What we're saying is that we will have a part of the session, you know, a locale setting, and based on that, you know, setting, the display or based on some of the perhaps dictionary or, you know, files. There is no need to create different pages for different local setting. Only something like I don't know how to explain it. It's like we have different localization or customization.
Yeah, I get that. If I just take an example, maybe we've got portal and then Clamp could be using that portal and so we can part of that. But and if we're saying, okay, that's as far as we want to go, I would guess that what we're saying is not taking the full responsibility of all the customizations at this stage, local for to the local changes.
Yes, for this proposal, yes, you can take the liberty of leveraging that customization. But
okay,
for multi-language support, actually, what we don't required to do further customization by creating another page, you know, we just add a dictionary that would actually, for example, we have a dictionary for Chinese, and we have a dictionary for French, and those are like, you know, different items and would be replaced with or a tab named and things like that. That does not mean you have to create another totally different page.
Okay.
But yes, the application could have you know, more complex localization.
But if I may understand, Lingli, for those they will need to make some change in their code to take into account this new dictionary or set of API SDKs that will be provided. Am I correct?
If they are to in you know to incorporate this kind of quality and allow the users to do the local setting of the pages that are provided by them. Yes, there need to be code changes.
Okay.
I would be talking about using a localization library that has all the functions that yes. you would want to use in your code.
I think
right?
that's what we'll be talking, it's, yes. So that's impacting. Okay. That is impacting the and kind of wanted to have the list of those impacted applications.
Well, this may also impact, I guess the question becomes, is it just other than the user interfaces? Are we talking about localization of some of the for example, BNF descriptor text as well, or is that going to remain in English only?
Good question, Alex. I think, so first of all, let me take Judith's question. A general framework that the whole community and all the modules that provide upon, you know, like multi-language support or other localization, customization, and or commercialization based on ONAP. There are so many pieces and almost like one, it would be very, you know, time consuming. And when it's portal design and we will have to do it all over again. And with each language. And this proposal is trying to actually to offer a systematic design and call for so that when we are actually doing, for example, a language customization, rather than you know having to find
yes.
In a running code each of the piece
yeah.
Of and this
yeah.
is and by no means that it has to definitely impacting all the projects. We are not dictating the projects to do that commitment. Is at the project's deliberate liberty to decide whether or not they will and see, you know, if this is viable, this is mature, and join later. So, but actually to complete the design implementation to showcase that this is a viable. This is actually the proposal. And for your question, Alex, for the benefit, you know, actually do that, I think that that's a potential, but that is not our app descriptor. Actually, for example, the package also have, you know, like be providing its description. And it could be, you know, possible that we're looking to actually having the portal to design which version, which link service creation. So that is viable, but currently not in now. Or didn't tackle it, I think, in further releases or having further discussions, you know, for business.
Okay, I guess, yeah, sure, we have the IETN libraries for all the language bindings that we support.
I think as part of this proposal, we will have, you know, if other people would be willing to contribute in other languages, dictionary, our capability.
But there are two parts here. There are two parts. I'm sorry, Lingley. There are two parts to this, right? There is the... to create, you know, strings in UTF-8 format, for example, or you then extract the things that you want to be localizable and then translate them into different languages. Has to be done, right? Somebody has to provide the internationalization libraries that have all the utilities. And, you know, do all the translation and manipulation the right way, and then, you know, the localization, we have to do that separately. So the front end part, do we know that from an open source perspective? I guess that's my question. We would need to add some internationalization tools to our tool chain. So we test and validate things.
Yeah, that's something we haven't done up to this point, is UI testing, aside from local teams doing it themselves. Well, maybe in the same place, at least for the near term going forward. You know, but I think that this provides some useful utilities for teams who are building portals to be able to add this to their projects.
Yeah, I'm not debating for all the reasons that Lingley mentioned. You know, to commercialize something, you would need to have it be localizable.
Mm-hmm.
A particular block a few times, and internationalization testing and actual. Otherwise, things start looking really funny, right? And so, what is to be localized and what could be and what is not, and then, you know, there would be some level of code, the way you write the code, basically. Somebody's going to have to make sure that they used at the right time. So I think the logistics of that, sure.
I think you, Alex, the critical point from my understanding is that the work that is being done here proposed by Tao is kind of independent of the other project, meaning the other project can decide later to adopt this set of SDK and libraries for localization purposes.
Okay.
I think it is not necessary for to take the benefit of those SDK within the Casablanca release.
Okay.
So they they can do it later if they want. Am I correct, Lingley?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so let's try to wrap on this discussion. What I'm hearing from the committee is that this is useful functionality, and the fact that it can be phased in over time will be helpful for the projects so that it won't kill the scope for the Casablanca release. Let me know if I heard this wrong, but I think from the perspective of the architecture subcommittee, we are endorsing this to move forward with the TSC. Okay, thank you, Tao. Thank you, Lingli. So we'll give you the architecture endorsement as you go to the TSC meeting on Thursday.
Thank you.
Tao, can you drop your screen sharing, please? Thanks. And then we'll move on to, thank you. And now we'll move on to Vimal with 5G.
Okay. So this use case was reviewed during our face-to-face meeting in Beijing, and there was a request to preview. And what I did was to focus only on what we are doing in Casablanca. Companies have been working on this thing. It's not just the AT&T proposal. It's in fact, a lot of code contribution is coming from many companies. First, I go through a very simplified 5G network architecture on RAN. We have defined the scope for this project for Casablanca release we use the front hall and the CUUP and CUCP. I put a little box around here as a single unit instead of CUUP and CUCP split. So depending on the vendor, it could be two units or could be in green are physical elements. So only physical element in scope for Casablanca is DU. But could be as a single CU. Any question on the scope? And so architecture is rather simple. It's really nothing. We are using everything. Expect the edge cloud, but if the edge cloud is not available, we'll just deploy them in the data center cloud. Things get deployed. We won't have a DU physical element, rather, we will focus, we will take an emulator in Casablanca release. Same thing for mid hall, we would deploy DU and CU in the connectivity between DU and CU, which is most likely in practical case. Front hall also. So the enhancement for the platform support 5G RAN, VNF and PNF are listed here. I've been working on to expand the packaging center to include PNFs. We would like to bridging as well, it depends on one, so it might not happen in Casablanca, but that's we need to continue work on that. To support PNF onboarding and hybrid network design using PNF and VNF, the flow we want to design. So to model in SE to service instantiation sequencing relationships so that SO must be that SO must enforce. Discover that as the PNFs are deployed, are plugged in, we want to auto discover them and register them so that they can be, SO can start using, instantiating them or putting them in service. Enhance SO to support decomposition of services that include support, enhance Edge Cloud deployment so that it could ask what is the best Edge Cloud location to support the. Delivered by adding wireless service YANG models, network YANG models, and service logic for in ONAP to support elements for the front haul. And we want to add common reusable logic in CCSDK to support wireless. You and CU, when you put them together, it's very hard to split them. We want to control those elements. A single network persona, controller persona called Layer 127 network persona to configure and lifecycle management of all the 5G network elements. You want to, there's a configuration design tool for controller called CDT. And those, there were two different tools. We want to expand that to a single tool to support capturing all the Layer 127 configuration data for the radio elements. In the performance, near real time, order of seconds, streaming performance data, and enhanced DCA to support bulk performance data, produce real time streaming analytic platform like Flink. And there are some enhancements because this has been part of 5G use case. We want to enhance OOF framework to optimal placement of. It's directly related, and a framework enhancement to implement some network optimization like PCI assignment and so on. So I'll stop here. I have more details on each of these. I don't know how much detail people want, but that's a good summary of what we.
Just to double click on the edge cloud automation, then with this viewpoint. Important piece, right?
That's an important piece. As I said, we can still do 5G by, if they, let's say, for whatever reason, we don't have Edge Cloud, then we'll just deploy CU in the data center cloud. But it's nice to have to mimic a more realistic scenario, which is to say these CUs will be deployed in the Edge location.
Okay. But what you're saying is, in the worst case, we just fall back to sort of the data center, but platform attributes in mind, for example, SROV or you know, all the high performance.
Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense.
Hi, Bimal. One thing is, you're talking of a new controller here, right? Is it in parallel with the SDNC app CVFC?
So I do have a slightly separate deck because somebody asked me the same question to use the existing controller to expand the scope of one of the controller executable we create. So hold on, I'll answer this thing and then it will become clear when I do the second presentation. Is to say we have the CSDK and FCE. We want to add some logic and some modeling. These three repo, and then we can create a persona. Either call it SDNC or it's that persona would support layer 1 through 7 instead of just supporting layer 1 through 3.
Okay, reason why I'm asking is because we are thinking of having a common platform, CCSDK, to be leveraged to have this thing, right? So it will be with these interfaces, right?
That's I didn't get the full question, but if you're asking that let's for argument's sake, we say we are going to use STNC persona to support 5G network.
Okay. Other thing is, who will do the discovery part of this? Because the one in Beijing timeframe was the discovery part of PNF.
So the discovery, the flow is defined. The discovery is done. If I go and go to the next slide, what we are doing is today okay,
you're talking about this. So which we discussed in Beijing, which didn't happen.
So what we are going to do is SO is not going to do the event when if PNF is turned on, powered on, it will publish an event. CAE would call the controller to say, this is the new device, you can register it. It will make an SO is get the request to say, instantiate this PNF element in and if it's available, then you just say, yeah, I know it's available. Then you follow the
question is more from the perspective where the service instance started, but we are awaiting for PNF to be onboarded. I mean,
we can keep
so
it.
There we are looking for an event, right?
The control. Yeah, so cover and put in an AI before the service request is sent, so that and if the
okay
say failure because I didn't find an AI.
So Vimal, we
fine. Okay, fine.
Always having SO created an AI, is that do we moved away from that one? Is that
yeah? So, but there were two ways to do it. One is to say we put it in an ANI when we turn it on, and then SO request comes during ANI until it's discovered. The discovery part is
Well, we're waiting for one event coming from the PNF handler inside DCAE. So when you have a best event for PNF, we were thinking that even from there, that was understanding.
Okay.
But anyways, I mean, so that was what we waited for the Beijing time. Otherwise, I think for Casablanca, I'm okay with both the things, but
yeah.
We have to finalize on solution and take the use case forward.
So I personally feel that's a cleaner solution rather than somebody waiting. We put divide them in service right away, just put them on, they get registered, and then somebody says, let's turn on the 2 DUs today, and then maybe 3 DUs day after tomorrow. That way, Benjamin, I don't know if Benjamin is online from Nokia, you and Benjamin can decide which flow you want to support in Casablanca.
No, we have already decided on that. So one thing which I proposed was to have a DMAP based registry from the DCAE side.
Today, as you said, the first
so
line over here.
That was understanding. My understanding was maybe for Casablanca we'll do that. Okay. No problem. I think we can take it offline on this. But I wanted to give my 2 cents on that. That this discussion is also in parallel, so we should not miss it again.
Yeah.
That's my point. Fine. I think we can take it offline. Yeah.
That should be fine. So the PNF support is somewhat new, not somewhat new. We started in Beijing, but did very little, just that we got the base event. the SDC enhancement, there is some PNS support, but it might need more generic a model that need to be supported in SDNC and defined FN PNFs. SO enhancement to support model-driven dedicated workflow for PNF element on put it in service. I did talk about the configuration tool that we need to create configuration, PNF discovery and registration support. We need to support whatever security we do for VNF should be equally applicable for PNF. So if you are going to issue certificate and assign that certificate to, let's say we do that for VNF, then we need to put that certificate or assign that certificate to PNF as well. Enhance on-app modeling information to fully support PNF network elements for PNFs. For service configuration, today's focus on EPC to make it a layer 1 through 7 is the, not just layer, that is already a separate functional requirement or proposal to make CDD tool more generic and controller independent. So that work definitely be leveraged by this use case. One of the things that we are adding part of this PNF, which is slightly different than VNF, is to say when PNF in service, it need to verify the PNF version and make sure that what is stored in ANA.
Well, I have a question. I don't know whether you want to take it now or you want to take parts of this question. It's a drive to have a single ONAP control purchasers from CC SDK. The question is, which ones do we create in ONAP there? This labeling of layers is actually misleading, because even the EPSI can today it's can configure the layer one information of the of a particular VNF or the lower layer information of a VNF through the, it's just whatever you're talking about the transport when you say layer one, so a WAN connectivity, which is the purview of the SDNC. The two controllers that we have today.
Well, so one of the things that we need to be careful with that, if let's say DU is the most troublemaker here, where we have the front hall is application level configuration, which is layer 4 through 7. If we and we can't split the send some of the configuration information to DU. If you have two controllers managing the single device, somebody saying reset, other controller is saying change the parameter. I mean, that's just a simple example. Hopefully that works the same device. That's why we need a single controller that can support layer 1 through 7, not two controllers.
Yeah, but the- it's only configuring the transport parameters from that network. It's a separate thing actually setting up the transports itself, the underlay, overlay, whatever's needed, right?
You are configuring all the spectrum, the radio parameters and how the
sure, but that's application level. That's so, application level.
So, Vimal, you aren't saying that we need a service level controller for 5G. You're saying we need resource level controllers. The WAN is a separate resource than the VNFs and the PNFs. So you could have a different controller per purpose that the controllers that we think we need for the 5G use case would probably be the the same
still
controller
doing
type,
the resources level configuration of CUs and DUs. We don't want to have, but it's also very because there is such a tight dependency between CU and Stefan probably knows who really configured DU by saying you configure CU and CU pushes some of.
Just trying to double click on the WAN connectivity. I mean, essentially, are say WAN gateway would be configured through the ONAP control G5G CU element, then that would be managed by a separate controller, basically with an edge cloud.
Maybe let me go back to this picture I had over here. The front hall, you configure it. That's not done by cloud controller or anything. That is the bit physical element, the radio configuration to say what spectrum to use, how to. So this is the part that. And two, but do you also want to configure the application level configuration, which is layer 4 through 7? And needed to manage DU completely. So I agree, Ramki, that if you were doing just underlay overlay, then we can just have the unique air transport called front haul that need to be configured, and we won't have a single. One step further and say, because there's a tight coupling between CU and DU, don't split them when we is one doing CU and one doing DU. I mean, the same.
But that doesn't that result in tight coupling? I mean, so sees data being sent to the CU.
Yeah.
It considers that CU data. Irrespective of whether the CU turns around since it's
not
DU,
not know
not.
That it's going to DU, but in practical, again, yes, you can do. You can have one controller for DU, one controller for CU.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but this. If you even take a P gateway today and it has DPI capabilities, you'll be configuring something that looks like it's so that as a resource, as Gil was pegging on here. And that's what I'm interpreting here. We have a controller that's controlling other things. I assume it's another controller that would control the mid-haul, because that could be separate, even though I'm a bit hesitant that we go down the path that, you know, now we say, okay, now we've got three controllers here.
That's right. No. Then I can switch to the controller discussion that you had requested, and I do have a picture to show how this controller would.
Okay. I can save that part of the discussion.
The rest of the slides are what. Review tool, we talked about the person control, the configuration is what we talked about, and enhance the change management. The performance analysis tool we talked about, but there were two enhancements that were the file data from this Radeon elements like DUs and CUs. Hold a few seconds, 1 or 2 seconds, the streaming data for performance. So those are the enhancements we are. It is for a function framework, as I said, it's not directly tied to the 5G use case, but it's that something. The enhancements are to say the VNF placement, edge cloud, optimization framework to support some of the yes.
Hello.
So that's all I have, and I could use next 5 minutes. I have some questions on this slide. Let me, I think I have to stop sharing and start sharing again. Just in a second. That's wrong deck. Just one, give me 1 second.
I think the summary is that SO sends, for a given resource, SO sends two types of proposal is that can be the same, that can be the same controller instance.
Yeah.
Someone that does the assign can do the configuration as well.
What about the third controller? What is this SDNR? SDNR is not creating a new controller, but goal of
yes, I am.
You want to walk through this slide or
you're doing fine, VML. Keep going.
Business model in open daylight based STNC controller port wireless network STNC in the following areas: license and spectrum management logic, RAN and wireless management.
Hey Vimal, this is Shaka. So I had the discussion. excuse me, at least from my perspective, I think the question that I asked Tracy was, is SDNR really, and there is a distinction between the two, right?
Today we have that distinction. That's a Steven's question as well. Today we do make a distinction because one support life cycle. One does the most of the layer, one does transport, other one does application level configuration.
Exactly.
But that both of them in most network elements that we have also are suggesting that if you just wait. But it's all written here to say we won't have a single controller that can do everything whole
okay, I'll wait. Go ahead.
We have to be a bit careful with that because I think that's what you already have in the naming there. But I do think that's different from setting up a transport connection as a resource though. And I think that's
transport sector networking, that's not what you're talking about. We take the resource like DU, and I'm level configuration today that could be construed as layer 1 through 2. And that's the layer 1 through 3 as SDNC. And in this case, what we are saying, so the 2 point we on their controller, but it's the edit, some of the logic and code edit.
But I look at the SDNR though, similar to the way I look at the third party controller.
Still part of SDNC, it is the same controller. But maybe I can just go to this picture, maybe we don't need this article.
No, you know, semantics are critical over here, right?
Yeah.
The way I look at it is after you the implementation of SDNR, would I be able then to is another service with another service provider, or is it going to be very specific to the AT&T implementation?
Okay, this code contributed by multiple companies, including some of the vendors and such.
Yeah, and Damon, I'd like to make one comment. Quite a lot of what we're calling a wireless artifact, I would say most.
So now you can see, Sagar, this is a good picture to say this is where this SDNR team is contributing code, VK apps. They are putting some code by itself. So they are adding this spectrum logic, wireless logic, LAN logic, wireless service logic, and you take all the things that we have in FC for lifecycle management and the common services we have. And then you create a persona that today we look at the green, and this is what we do. We create a called STNC, we create a persona called FC, and they get caught from C. We are saying that if you want to support 5G from a single controller, you might have to take the P, and this one can support the layer one. You can label it, but it will support the 5G network element. A pineapple or SDNC or whatever name you want to call it. So I just wanted to say that. We are not creating a new controller. In fact, I think that long controller called ONAP controller layer 1 through 7, whatever name you want, you can come up with and put the same, everything in the same repo called CCSDK. That will be a lot executable and 3 repos. But for Casablanca, I'm not suggesting that dramatic or drastic get for in SDNC would have that we need support spectrum management.
So in other words, another way to look at this is that the ONAP control, it supports the universe of capability, the instance of the, or the ONAP control that one can download. It'll support the universe of controller capabilities. It'll support making assignments. It'll support doing configuration, whether or not, you know, at instance runtime, that's going to be a separate controller to do assignments. From AT&T has it set up today, you know, with SDNC doing assignments and then AppC is doing configuration, or whether a single controller vision.
Well, it was doing more than just assignment. It is also doing some of the right. It is configuring DU to support the wireless transport. Mm-hmm. So it's a little more than just IP.
Right.
So Vimal, this is where, at least in my mind, it gets a little bit more confused. When you're creating a service and you're designing the directed graph for the wireless or executing the RAN DG in this environment, to me, the DG is the logic that's going to help you or that's going to guide you the networking requirements at the VNF level and level. You need to have a step-by-step process of how you would orchestrate So I'm trying to envision how the directed graph or graphs game configuration. I create a set of directed graphs that basically specify step-by-step process. When SDN controller, the main SDN controller, or do I deploy some DGs to the SDN controller?
There's no SDNR. SDNR is not a controller. That's the point I was trying to make. The SDNR, these are the... There's not a separate. You cannot create, by just these artifacts, that you still need everything. That's one called SDNC. What we are saying, in up to Beijing, the SDNC did not and we will add that and make this single controller that can support 5G.
Think about it, you know, the way that you described it. Yeah. It seems to me, though, that the integration part is no more than just a set of directed graphs existing infrastructure that are specific to the RAN network.
Exactly.
So I think that that's we define whether you're doing layer 4 in higher or layer 1 through the service that we are creating is a RAN service, but it's going to run on top of the existing.
Again, we have talked this thing, or Stefan has said a couple of times, that the distinction. We have logic to configure our radio network.
Mm-hmm.
That include everything from parameters, thousands of parameters for DU and CU, that we control everything, all the logic, the wireless logic, at the same controller called SDNC.
I have So I understand everything where you're going with this and fully on board. Just one question. Is this also be a VNFM from ETSI point of view to handle VNFM thought to be something separate? My point is this unified control northbound interface or not?
If I understand correctly, the Sol 003 is mostly for that goes
to. Yeah, I think there were two questions in there. I think I heard one question being, does the universe converter to be whole, or does it do the functionality of a VNF in addition to the universal controller, or does the universal controller do that which a VNF manager does?
Is VNF manager a separate thing, or is it integrated in?
It is the functionality of a VNF manager is provided buyered an ONAP in order to make ONAP whole to manage a VNF. So
yes.
So you don't
need it. It is not directly yes or no, is because it's not just SDNC or not the controller, single controller. Some of most likely will be an SO and other parts are in SDNC. And the second is that the definition of whereas this one does a lot of things like suspend, start, what we call the what HC calls at the infrastructure level lifecycle management.
Right. Which is what the SOL 003 API and northbound isn't quite the right. So at the controller does not support.
It's definitely not within Casablanca. I don't know, Vimal, if the architecture. It's definitely not. Is that?
And what we are saying, so we are not saying that the functionality is missing. The functionality, some of the part of the VNF manager functions are in SO and some part in SDNC. But remember, SDNC. Or the beyond VNF manager because it does the application level configuration and application level lifecycle management.
So to understand this picture and the previous one that you showed. So I understand that the front hall and the DU and then we say that the then it's sort of like an application that can have the CU, the CU UP CU CP part, which might not be NF in a way, right?
That's right.
Okay, cool. And then we got the mid hall, which is a transport connection in
CU
between.
If it's a data center, it's underlay overlay, which is done by the infrastructure. If it's a WAN connectivity, done by some other.
Right. So then we got three elements in a way, three maybe four, but we got the CU complex between them. And then for me, and that's very similar to what you have in Packer Core. That's enough. You can have a P gateway if I speak 4G terminology because I'm not up to date with the 5G terminology, but it doesn't matter. The logical kind of conclusion would be that you have APC configuring the DU, and that can be created from the CC SDK with this persona approach. So that's one example persona. And
you could create one persona, or you can create two personas for that.
Right.
I can bring the slide, but I don't think we'll have time. I also need to run for another meeting. In long term is to really put everything we want, all the create a super CCSDK library. If I want to do only IMS or I only want to do A, B, and C, and that you create a persona for that, some of the that does everything, and you that's somewhat what
and these are all valid. I have no issue to work with in ONAP, which are the ones we display publicly there, which are the ones we will have in our creation there, and we have two today, and I think that's we just say okay, let's go with those, and then we show how, and then we maybe require shuffling some of these little lines between the blue and the gray.
As quick as possible, but also satisfy the 5G use case, and that's why we are proposing this in long term.
But you're going beyond the scope that SDNC project is defined, and that's an issue.
Yeah, from a formal perspective, you have to go to the TSC and request the change, and that's going to require explanation of why we can't stick with the existing scope and why we need to expand it for this use case.
And the 5G use cases with what we setting out to be, and still work with this person or approach, right?
We are not changing the project scope because the projects are still the SDNC supporting the 5G network element during the configuration.
Hey, Vimal, sorry. Going back to create happens to be a set of DGs and artifacts and some parameters within the scope of the current SDN controller, right? That's not an issue at all.
Yeah.
And that's what I was trying to propose in a set of logic, recipes, DGs, artifacts, or is there more to it, which would require then a changes to the about the TSC? I think what you're saying is this is all is the entire server or the DGs and artifacts that are related to the RAN network.
Exactly.
Changes to the SDNC project.
Because the SDNC is described as looking as a global network controller built on the framework for managing, assigning, and provisioning network resources. Since the APC addresses the network function.
But it's semantics, right? It's semantics. I mean, we could. Yeah.
I tell you one thing, let's see if you have a P router or a C router. I would you exactly, okay. I will do exactly what I do. So including VRF setup, it's an application level configuration. Don't even know why we ended up with these two controllers.
Yeah.
Well, for the use case it was the SDNC that configured the VNFs.
Exactly. So to
say it in a slightly different way, though, it's the DG, right? It's the logic that you pass to the SDN controller that basically handles specific VNF, right?
Yeah, but it's not that the. But yeah. It doesn't handle, for example. I mean, it's. Circle management according to the ONAP interpretation of that.
That's right.
And that interface there, not the SDNC.
I am. I have been. And this. Not too much of my time, right? But I want to make one recommendation, right? I think what would be helpful is, at least from my perspective, if using a recipe and artifacts and DGs that you can run on top of the existing infrastructure, your RAN network.
And I think it would also
the app goes, once the recipe gets executed and all the DGs get executed, you have to pass the control
We're saying that the SDNC project description implies that
exactly what Steve is saying, right? I mean, that's exactly what we're saying.
I think it'll boil down to, guys, this is Dean. I think it's part of the discussion. When CCSDK found the Uber library here, Sana's, regardless of which two you're going to use at that point, right? So the contributions on this one are really about the others to the elements that you use. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And Dean, you're exactly right. If I could just get a demonstration with SDNC in the recently made available what Dean just summarized, you know, the Nick Conf Yang's interfaces, I'm not going to call it wireless logic, that's too broad, but we are doing a demonstration the 5G use case call, but it will be taped and made available. So, you know, we'll have some hands-on tactical practical experience using SDNC in this context.
I don't know. I said this might have been a slight miscommunication, as Sarkar knows and everybody Look, if I have VC, I have a virtual CPE or virtual PE, it does everything. Plus application level configuration, VRF WRF creation and management. So it fixes it. But I'm hoping.
But how do we explain to people that sometimes you should use sometimes you should use SDNC. Nobody comes into this because the way this was the way this was in a way kind of set up and communicated there. If you have a look at it, yes, I give you that. That is true. And the APC was really doing the configuration for the network functions that you.
We said in the AT&T was SDNC doing the element like E router, C router.
Yeah, but simple ones, the simple ones, yeah, there, and the RAN is far from simple. Right.
But if I have to change, if want to change, I suggest that what Sarkar yeah. said, that logic is still the same. I'm just using the new DG for this. But if you want to change, I have a controller going forward. Can we have a single controller called ONAP controller framework or ONAP controller? And
I mean, if we have to take offline or have another discussion, we could always do it, right? I think what you guys are complicated service, like I said earlier, with its own set of DGs, its own I think what you need to do is to start with that assumption that you're not going as a service and using service creation environment. And if you run into issues, then those exist in infrastructure, right? But you got to go back to what Dean just also said and Steve said, that APC for the RAN network that handles the LCM for all the.
That's not true, exactly true. It's that's why we have this Orange Arrow coming. Everything to configuration for that, all the RAN elements.
But you know what? It's also semantics, right? Because you use. The argument also that the orange box is an APC for the RAN network.
Well, the orange box is a design time thing, right? It's not a runtime thing. It's
just- I'm just saying, to minimize the confusion, right? It's an APC that is specific to the RAN network.
I think it's in the bottom right, APC. Shouldn't that be generic network function controller?
I said for Casablanca, we do repeat one more time. My hope is that we can combine these two and call it generic network function controller. Very hard to explain, very hard to...
In the target,
if they just change, we are... I am not... But I think as we discuss this modularity and simplification of our board during the face-to-face meeting, we might, one of the outcome might be that for Dublin, we propose that we can create different persona to meet there.
Vimal, just a quick question, and again, you know, kind of look at it. Maybe all functions we have to perform in terms of instantiating and service components. And then there are discrete functions that we need to be able to perform in order to connect. So to me, those are very different animals. And today we actually have the right network connectivity, and we have something that actually manages the actual software. So combining those two together, do you think that's actually a good idea?
Part of infrastructure, not part of this controller.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, I missed that part. Okay.
Yeah. Let me know what should be the next action item. I really have to run because I'm already late by 20 minutes. One or two questions, but.
So, Vimal, one quick doing what we're doing until we hear something to the contrary from.
Well, the team is. Team is really
exactly.
Whether it's called STR team or the STNC team or controller team, that doesn't matter here. There's nothing. I'm not creating a new repo. We don't have a new project. There's no new PTL.
No, 100% dependent upon CCSDK.
Yeah. So only thing we are saying here is. And if that needs some, if that can be, as Parker explained, the CGs you get and the model you get and the adapter you get would be to support.
Particularly for that logic, outside the transport part could reside in EPSI, and we have the same situation, but it's easier to communicate until we get to the point where we say, where we talk about the Dublin situation.
This is Ramki. Wanted to just clarify one aspect on the mid-haul connectivity. So with respect to mid-haul, especially with the 5G CU placement, so a scenario could be that the 5G CU gets placed on one of the edge cloud regions, not necessarily the proximal one to where the DU is, right? So at that point, you first need to decide through OOF where you're going to place that 5G CU, and then later through SDNC, execute the mid-haul connectivity between the gateway function on the DU and the gateway function on the edge cloud, correct?
Yeah, that won't be any different than, let's say, you have one VNF and one data center, other VNF in the different data center. How do you connect those data centers? Think of the DU as one data center, CU happen to be different data center. How do
Exactly right.
That is correct, Imal. All I meant was, like, today, I mean, as far as I understand, the SDNC connectivity set up before placement, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know whether the workflow needs to be changed to tweak so that we can dynamically decide the connectivity to S3NC. Like basically, first make the placement choice through OOF and then do the connectivity. I'm not sure whether the workflow is like that. That's all.
As I said, I really had to run. There is nothing new. We can have VNF in two data centers. We can have DU and CU in two different data centers. It's the same thing. There's not a new problem here that we are trying to solve here. We do exactly the same thing we have been doing for all these years. So I think there are more questions. Tracy is here, ask her all the tough questions, and Dean is here to answer simple questions, but I really have to. Okay, and both Tracy has this slide, so if in case she has to share, she can share, but I have to really have to run. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, thank you, Vimal.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay. So do we want to continue the discussion here, or now that Vimal's gone with Tracy and the remaining team? Are there more questions from the team?
So this is Ram Kingan. Just wanted to, I mean, we can double click on this later, but just on the workflow perspective, whether, you know, at least from what I've seen, you wire up the connectivity in SDNC, right, across data centers, and then you do the placement. I don't know whether the other side is supported. You decide where to place, which data center to place, and then wire up the SDNC connectivity. Not sure whether it's supported now. I mean, if it is, great. I mean, if not, we need to double click on it. That's all.
Chris?
Yes.
I'm just trying to work out how to resolve this. And maybe one approach is, I think that slide that was up showed quite well the moving pieces with an additional complement from what Shika was bringing in, where we could see the let's say the infrastructure part of the controllers and the application logic part of the controllers. And then maybe one approach is we're gonna have some issues with M1, but we need to work out what the options are, and then saying, okay, out of these options, this is the one we select. So we could spend a bit of time on the next call, maybe, or I don't know whether we need another call this week to actually go through the different options. It sounds to me a little bit like the work is the same however we do it, right?
Yes.
And to me, it's a little bit about how do we clearly articulate this is what the ONAP community is doing, and how it should be viewed, so there is consistency with what we're doing in RA, and there's consistency with what we're doing in Packet Core, and so on, around this. And maybe, I mean, I could have a go at it if you'd like to volunteer to try to at least sort of draw up what I understand maybe the viable options could be, and if someone has other ones, maybe they could sort of, you know, contribute in with that, and then we could try to close on those in the next meeting.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, in terms of M1, we can always recommend an extension while we sort through the architecture on this. That would not block the team from actually starting the work, because it's going to be the same as you just said in either place. And we can clarify it on next week's call and then report back to the TSC a week from this Thursday. So that would give us time, I think, to work through the remaining issues and still keep the team moving while we get through M1.
To me, there are two dimensions to the question, right? One is for the different types of resources. There are network functions in their networks. Do we want a specialized controller type for types of resources? So for networks, for instance, should SDNC be the controller type for networks, and generic network function controllers don't do networks at all? That's one question. The other question is, looking at a single resource, what's needed to do lifecycle management for a single resource, should we split that across controller types? So for instance, should SDNC be used to get the IP assignments for a voice VNF, the networking assignments for a voice VNF, but have APSI then do the configuration of that same VNF? Or should a single VNF be responsible for all of the assignments, network or otherwise, and the configuration and lifecycle management for that single VNF network function? To me, those are the two dimensions of the question.
Yeah, there's another challenge, and it's just the governance. We don't have anything, we don't have a project called Generic Network Function Controller. We do have an SDNC project, and we do have an APSI project, and they both have defined scopes. Mm-hmm. And we're getting outside of the box of what got defined by the TSC. So we need to go back to the TSC and vote on a redefinition based on whatever the proposal is.
And first, I think we also need to make sure that does the SDNC project self-understand that it doesn't do lifecycle management of VNFs? Because I don't think that understanding is there.
No, I mean, there are certain lifecycle events that we handle in Beijing.
Right.
For change management, not for instantiation.
In fact, for the case of all the use cases of Amsterdam, we didn't have APC at all, right? So SDNC was the one which was doing most of the lifecycle management there.
For Volte, probably. Not so much for BCP, UCP.
Yeah, I mean, of course, that's right. But I'm saying in minimal way, right? We didn't have APC at all till Beijing time end of it. So that way, SDNC was doing the most of the work there.
APC was in Beijing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying till Beijing we didn't have APC, but I'm saying in Amsterdam we had use cases.
But I think it was in Amsterdam as well.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think we contributed code. So.
Yeah. No, I was just trying to say what Gil said. Actually, I agree with what Gil said that SDNC right now doesn't have an instruction for doing lifecycle management.
Okay, so I hear the proposal then is Steven's going to go off and do a first pass at this and come back next week. Anyone else want to work with him while we're divvying this up? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I can work with him in John Ng's absence, or in Habib might, or maybe Habib, one of the two. At least maybe do a pre-review, Steve, and give you some ideas.
Yeah, absolutely, I think. And I mean, just because I put something on the table doesn't mean others can't put something else on the table.
Right.
But I can send it out anyway to the ARC list when I have a draft, and then before the meeting, so that we can mature it for to get into a place where hopefully we can make a recommendation. But all input would be helpful, because if you get into details it can get quite complex, I think, and the question is, can we keep this high enough? Do you know if FIMA was posted this, because that's and this is a it's a baseline to start from, I think.
It's looking at the chat, I don't think it's posted yet, but he said he will post them, so expect them later today.
Thanks, Chris.
Sure. Okay, any closing thoughts or any additional discussion on this topic before we move on? Okay. Let's see. Is Michael O'Brien on CD project? I know you wanted to present to the TSC, I want to give you a slot to talk here first if you're ready.
I think he's traveling today.
Okay. We'll move on then. I presented...
What project was that, Chris? Sorry, I...
It's CD, the Continuous Delivery Pipeline.
Ah! Oh.
There's a new project proposal for it. It's supposed to be reviewed on Thursday's TSC meeting. Let's move on. Let me bring up the Casablanca architecture recommendations. This is an update of what I presented last week. The first ones are just background. You've seen these all before, the focus of the release, the deployability focus, and then the Beijing and Casablanca architecture pictures. They're actually just the same. We don't have new projects that are requiring changes to this at this point. So for consistency, we're leaving it exactly the same. The recommendations, I made just minor updates based on the feedback from last week. So the first is the real-time streaming analytics. We identified impacts to DCAE and DMAP. Second is the microservices that we want to harmonize on the common components. And the one to start with is databases. And just calling out that a significant amount of this already happened in the Beijing release. Initial support for Kubernetes VNFs and multi-vim. And then OPNFV Clover project Spinnaker component in the CD pipeline, which is part of integration. For the service mesh team, I did include the sub-bullet here. We don't have consensus and an architecture recommendation on service mesh, but projects are free to experiment with Istio on their own. So this is not a block in any way for work in that area. Ramke, does this capture your concern?
Yeah, this looks good.
Okay, great. So the next one, external API, we're talking about MIF and TMF. API improvements, talking about the Swagger alignment and the modeling alignment, and then the versioning support that we've been talking about here for a long time.
Chris, two things going back there. It's not, yes. not a request to any change on this, just two discussion points that we need to come back to at some stage. One, when it comes to external APIs, we need to actually in some way have a similar debate to what we've just been having. And to be clear, when we talk about S-West and so on there, when we have to go through the external API and when we can go directly as clarity and guidance there, because sometimes it's, for me, it's a bit confusing what we, I have my opinion, but I'm not quite sure it's a community opinion. And on the API versioning, I think we still need to just come back and propose the policy that we said we should have for the TSC to vote on. And when I mean, we have that this here, but what we haven't taken the discussion around when we closed this was how to introduce this. I mean, we're not saying that everyone has to go and update everything. It's more the when I mean, what is the plan for going and update and certainly for new protocols, but when do we force this for existing ones? That question I think we need to answer.
So I believe that this was already included in Greg's request to the TSC that they did a couple of weeks ago.
If I remember that, there was a discussion about the introduction strategy that we didn't clarify there.
And that was part of S3P. And we talked about this being for new things in S3P, and then it would be extended levels before you get to the existing. Does anyone have any concerns with that? Or does anyone have a different understanding we need to talk through? Okay.
No.
So let's go on then. Anything else on this slide, Steve?
No.
Okay.
I just want to make sure it's clear.
Thanks, great, Chris. Thanks. PNFs and controllers and CPU, what the level of PNF support we expect in Casablanca is here. And then CCSDK with the support of the GNFC persona, lifecycle management and CDT enhancements, and then multi-CPU architecture is having the common Docker templates for the multi-CPU architecture support.
Hey, can I just say something as a...
Yes.
You know, I don't disagree with these listed for CCSDK, but none of them are in Jira. They don't exist. We can add them.
Okay. So are you okay with these? I mean, if we do add them from the architecture team, or
I think so. I mean, I think this is consistent with stuff we're, well, except maybe the first one. I think we need to understand
what that but is. Chris, also I'm trying to understand what these are. These are projects that have gotten blessed. So how could they be our recommendations? They were brought in as projects and they have been blessed. So we can recommend platform changes or plumbing changes and other things from that point of view. But to say that we recommend that there needs to be PNF support, well, that's kind of odd, right?
So these aren't projects, but this is recommendation of functionality that we expect in the existing projects. So in other words, we expect existing projects to support PNFs or physical network discovery, such as through ESR and ANAI.
I see how you're looking at it. So you're kind of saying these are the taxes you have across the board.
Okay. Exactly.
So Chris, on this slide, if you recall, we've been working with Parviz on a line on the intra-DC SDN domain controller interaction. So I think Parviz is copied, but Parviz is on travel, looks like, and I just copied you on that email. If you could add that. I mean, we converted that a few slides into a couple of, you know, crisp sentences.
Okay. Can you send it to the architecture committee? I want to make sure that everybody has a chance to weigh in on any changes to this.
Okay. Yeah. I think should it just go through Parviz? I think Parviz is managing the tech, or I can send it.
Why don't you send it directly to the architecture list? And if anyone else has any feedback on it, please reply to that thread.
I think some of what we were talking about on that front, Ramke, had to do with how we handle the integration of microservices and in the large. And so I think some of that may have been inadvertently deferred until Dublin, but I'm not sure.
No, and this is independent of microservices. This is almost like the SDN controller interaction, which we have been discussing before, just formalizing it, that's all. I mean, sort of this is independent of the microservices, because all this is trying to do is break down your cloud region or data center SDN into underlay, overlay, and gateway, right? And just make a crisp positioning on APIs around it. That's it. Very simple, independent of microservices. Yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah, so please just send it to the main list, if we can get consensus on that, we'll add it, or if there are any modifications required, we can have that conversation, hopefully all through email, and get it resolved by our next call.
Okay, yeah, thanks.
Great. Let's see. So the next one is for SO, SCC, and SC alignment. And it's just a cleanup from what we had last week. Last week there was a repetition around SOL 004. So this time we cleaned it up and it just says these are the specs to align with.
But align with not across the board, right? Where like 0.4 is only applicable to packaging. What does it mean to align with 0.1? We understand that's the VNF descriptor and the network service descriptors. But what about 3 and 5? Are we saying that everybody has to align with 3 and 5? That in fact implies that everybody uses lifecycle from EPSI, and I heard Gil say that's not the case.
Right, it's the specific projects that we've already been talking to about this, so it wouldn't be everybody in the community, but it's those projects that are going for the EPSI alignment. We're recommending these specs.
Would it be okay to amend this to say something like for applicable projects or as needed or as you know, something that basically doesn't create the impression that we have to drop everything and comply with these 5 specs across the board? Yeah.
Would this be relevant only at the STC and APC level?
Well,
it's more than that. So it, at least BNF SDK gets touched with the SOL 004 SDC, has some impact. SO, APC, VFC. So there are a number that touch on this at least a little bit.
So is it instead of align with Etsy, should it be support, ONAP support for? Because align makes it seem like we're changing the architecture to around an Etsy model, right? For applicable projects, I think is good.
And also, is the specification too broad, or is it specifically about just the schema for the APIs between the components?
Yeah, that's a good question, too, because in SOL 1, for example, the only stable part is the VNF descriptor, right? The rest of the spectrum is not fully finished.
Yeah, I would avoid the word specification because every word in that specification matters then.
But it's more than just the schema, because if you're talking SOL 003, it's the protocols that are described inside of that.
I would sort of agree with Gil and maybe make it even softer. One app to leverage, maybe. So then it's a soft statement. I mean, we are leveraging as we can rather than, yeah.
Well, so, okay, not that we're going to start an editing war, but I think what it really, I mean, if we were to get really pragmatic, what we're really saying is that the VNF descriptors have to be specified as defined in SOL 01. The packages have to be created as defined in SOL 04. And something similar could probably be said in very simple terms for 03 and 05. And that's it, and we're done, right? We don't need to really make it generic, we just need to make it specific.
Yeah, I agree 100% with Alex. So 1 and 4, I think, are not controversial. I think 3 is not controversial. So VNFM support, or maybe we should say plugged in VNFM support, because I don't want anybody to think that VNFM becomes part of ONAP. I don't think, but I don't know. But SOL 5, that one to me is a little more controversial. I don't really understand the value of ONAP supporting a SOL 5 API.
Well, we already do with the connection to VFC.
Is it a SOL 5 on VFC is northbound?
Yeah.
Okay. Then maybe just clarify that.
So even SOL 3, I'm confused. So when we say SOL 3, if somebody wants to plug into ONAP through SOL 3, do they go through external API or do they plug into SO? Which component implements the northbound for that?
So currently that's in the VSC, and the proposal is to also add that to SO.
So SO we're talking.
Yeah, but it's in the VSC now.
Yes, today's in VFC, yes.
Oh, yeah. And then adding it to the SO.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Sorry, one question. For SOL 002, that, let's say, is the connectivity from a generic VNFM to a VNF. So do you think it's in scope or? Multiple operators are requesting this in Europe.
It hasn't been discussed so very much. It's got to come up here and there. I'm not sure how much support the VFC has for that from its generic VNF. But if you haven't a VNFM plugin, it becomes an issue for the VNFM. If it's on the generic VNFM, I'm not sure what the VFC status is around that.
The thinking so far was that it wasn't particularly stable. So we were holding off on any recommendation until that moved a little further. If that's something we need to revisit, by all means, bring it up here. Okay, anything else on this slide? Okay, very good. And then the last part is modularity and functional decomposition. There were quite a number of talks last week about this. We did not come up to a consensus for Casablanca, but the proposed steps forward are to have a task force do an analysis and look at the functional components inside all the projects and provide some recommendations, and then have a face-to-face meeting later in the release cycle. You know, maybe around ONS in September, but the details of this are TBD. And so this is something that we could consider for Dublin.
I think on that front, we kind of need to maybe do some upfront work now. And yes, kind of try to prepare. I think one of the decisions we made in Beijing is that, you know, we certainly have no desire to start this from, you know, from ground zero, but we can potentially leverage the work that's been done already and just augment some of the information that's been collected so far. So we need to decide, you know, what that information looks like and what additional information would be required. That's something we should definitely be able to do now and not wait until, you know, until another 2 months or have passed. So maybe Steve and I can go off and kind of give it a shot and come back with some concrete things that we need to be able to expose for the functional decomposition exercise.
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it, is the reason to have the face-to-face later is exactly as you say, so that we have time to do some of the analysis up front. I think what we should do now is just to call for participation. I hear Alex and Steve, if there are other people, let's get a small group together and go off and start this.
I'm on the agenda for Tiger Team meeting on Monday to present a functional breakdown, if you would, of orchestration anyway, that would support recursive orchestrations where with facades of services looking like resources, which results in some modular construction, some recommendations for microservices and SO. I think that might help.
Gil, we actually started with in Beijing, and I'm sorry we didn't have time to kind of set up an external connection, but we should probably, you know, kind of revisit the slides that we were using as a starting point, because a lot of what we're going to be doing going forward, at least in principle, is based on some of the information that was presented by the operators and how they plan to do the functional decomposition of that.
Yeah, but equally, Alex, I mean, it's a broad question that we're looking at when it comes to functional composition. I think what Gil's saying is, hey, I've got some input on ESSO, which of course we welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, we need to make sure that we level set everyone across the board as well.
So on the modularity and functional decomposition, some of us had some offline discussions. What came out of it is maybe we need to take one of the ONAP's projects, especially the ones in the critical path. An example could be ESSO or SDNC, and then sort of, you know, start the analysis. Of course, while we're looking at it from a broader architecture perspective, taken example or a few examples, sort of do that, bring things together.
Guys, this is where we keep going around in circles. You don't just take something and whack it apart into smaller parts. That's not the point of functional decomposition.
No, Alex, we are not proposing that take it and then sort of re-architect around it, definitely not. More of an example, right? What we can get from it, that's all.
The point is that if you look at, I guess what I'm saying, maybe I wasn't, very clear. Like, if you look at how Orange, for example, presented how they plan to use ONAP and the sort of operational workloads that they're trying to create, part of what they want to be able to do is kind of define the steps of the workflow and then map those steps to different parts of ONAP components.
Yeah, but Alex, the one confusion that I have is when you say functional decomposition, at the end of the day, you're looking for overlaps, meaning the same function exists in multiple components, and that's therefore
that's actually secondary, right? The fundamental issue is, you know, what kind of microservices do we need to have, and what is their specific function? And so, what we may end up doing is certainly finding duplicates, but that's not the only thing. Find is that if we look at things from the operational perspective, which is typically what happens when you do the functional decomposition, then what you might find is that the set of steps you need to be able to execute in the workflow may map into certain functions within the existing projects that may need to be factored out for scalability or for reliability or for other reasons, right? Or for concurrency. And so we've said a while back that we kind of need to break the project boundaries and kind of go more to functional boundaries. So then the question becomes, if a microservice is an expression of a function, then what should the functions actually be? Well, one way of looking at it is to say that functions and ONAP ought to support some set of operational steps, right? Or, you know, one step, and, you know, maybe multiple. But we need to look at that from the operational perspective, because that's how ONAP is going to be used. So if you do that, yeah, sure, you get the efficiencies of looking at the modules and looking for overlap. But what you're also looking for is how to move from that project-centric sort of boundaries to more of a functional boundaries, that where each function may have different characteristics in terms of how it scales, how reliable it needs to be, and so on, right? So that's kind of the big win when you do the functional decomposition this way. And that's what TMF kind of proposes, and that's what Orange kind of reposes. So in my mind, we ought to try it that way. Maybe there are multiple ways we can do it, but to me, we ought to try it that way, because it does kind of take on a persona-centric or an operator-centric kind of perspective. When I say operator, I don't mean...
Yeah, the Orange slide deck that you refer to is a partial view for their operational role, right? Meaning they are saying, given an operational task, What are the minimal subset of ONAP components that I can introduce into the existing environment? So it is not complete functionality, I suppose.
No, not at all.
And the second aspect is, if we were to tease out functionality that are present in multiple modules, it's very unlikely in the ONAP model, at least from my perspective, what is in SDNC is not going to be the same than what is in ANI or somewhere else. So,
So in some cases, you're right. I think in some cases, we already have pretty well-defined boundaries. And I think if we look at the orchestration.
I think one part of this was we have what we approved for Bayesian is a high-level functional architecture. And one thing we said is, let's take that down to the next level, and then we'll start to define some of this. And then I think actually we're also discussing a bit, let's overlay that with some of the process view of this, as you were saying, I think, Alex, and articulating as the operational view of this. And a combination of those will do two things. One, anyway, increase the level of maturity in our architecture description, if nothing else, and I think that is itself valuable. Probably during that, we may actually discover some commonality we can look at. And we may also, if we look at this from the process point of view or the operational point of view, get to understand, maybe we actually need to separate this out because it's used here, or those type of things there. But
I think this is fantastic. I mean, all that, the taking some of these key projects, I mean, which are in the nerve center, just only adds more value in my opinion, not actually diminishes it. Sort of says, hey, here is where ONAP is, right? So, I mean, it's not like we're
we should be influenced by it, but kind of give some idea of where we are, right? Only put this together. Correct.
So also, I think if we look at our beloved diagram, in my mind, when I look at it, it's more of a contribution boundary kind of diagram, and less about, or a project boundary kind of diagram, and less about function. If we were to actually build a functional kind of view from the diagram, we might find that some things may need to move around even, right, in terms of functionality, just to be better aligned and maybe better served in terms of efficiency. I don't know. Part of this also is to kind of create a more unified API and a more of a unified model layer from a management point of view, or a managed object perspective, something that we haven't done. So I think there are lots of little benefits, but I think it would be good to, I think we can, actually looked again at the work that Steve started, and the more I'm looking at it, the more I'm kind of realizing, yeah, we could probably just kind of add a few, kind of review those slides and maybe add in additional information, and we would be in good shape in terms of the raw data. Now, then we would need to kind of figure out how to refactor things. So, yeah, Steve is Steven. Yes, I'm sorry. Steven, not Steve.
You can call me whatever you want.
Okay. So that's a good discussion. I think we're at a point to wrap. I know we're 3 minutes over. So thanks, everybody, for a good discussion today. I'll post this all up on the wiki. We'll use this as the going forward point for recommendations to the projects. But technically, we don't have to close on this until M2. I want, if we need to make any more updates, over the next couple of weeks, we can do that. I'd like to lock it down and then get the TSC approval, as early as possible. Next week's call, we'll also talk about, follow up to, the 5G, and then any other topics that come up.
Chris?
Yes.
In slide 5.
Yep.
So we are not going to show the generic GN, whatever that acronym was?
No, because this is the project view. This is not a future long-term view.
It's more than the project view. It is what we say is our current functional architecture based on Cleveland plus the project.
Plus the project, yes, right.
Okay, got it. So we don't need to show it here, right?
But it's I think the point was part of that other discussion is what we want to do with that in the Casablanca timeframe is hasn't been agreed. That's just a bunch of opinions working here and there.
Right.
And I think one of the things might be to, and let's see what Stephen comes up with in his wiki page, but one way to show it is maybe a dashed box around the two with the naming of GN, whatever that acronym is, and without removing these two, maybe that's how Steven might come up with. I don't know.
Well, I will be open to suggestions. We have to close by M2, and we have to get TSC approval by M2. So if we are going to make changes, it has to be something where we can get widespread consensus. I'll take it back. If people want to bring a contribution, we'll certainly discuss it.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, great. Thank you. We'll talk again next week. Appreciate it, everybody.
Thanks, Chris. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.